Hey, Collateral Cinema listeners, Chazzle Dazzle here from the Trial by Air Variety Show podcast, just taking a few seconds to invite you guys over to what we do. Much like Collateral Cinema, we are a grassroots podcast. We invite bands from all over the world to come in, and we dig deep into their souls and find really cool stories to tell you, and there's tons of music every week, so subscribe to us wherever you subscribe to your podcast. We look forward to having you.
Tonight on the Director's Cut, it is movie recommendations time, as we each give you five movies from our own personal collections that we think that you should check out. So stick around. The show starts right now. Welcome to Collateral Cinema Director's Cut. I'm Bo Maddox.
I'm Robert Ortegon.
And we are podcasting straight from somewhere in South Texas. And yes, my friends, we are a 420-friendly episode. So whatever you have, smoke it if you've got it. So what's going on, everybody?
Hey.
Hey.
It's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, speaking of, you actually missed that fucking episode.
I missed it.
Damn it, Robert.
Okay, you guys had another guest star, though.
Yeah, we had Stu from SWO Productions, formerly Ghost of the Stratosphere.
Nice.
And it was a fun episode, I think. It was a very, very lively discussion. I learned a lot about, you know, Spider-Man 3.
No, Ash loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I could tell.
And you yourself, you're actually a Spider-Man fan, right?
Yeah, I'm a big Spider-Man nerd, too.
Yeah, it's too bad that you weren't there for that. But right now, we're just going to go ahead and give everybody five recommendations from our own movie collections, right?
Yeah, we're going to do our best and try to fill this episode and get it out.
More or less, dude. But yeah, we've actually done an episode not unlike this, right?
We've done a few, mostly focusing on like horror movies.
Yeah.
And like our top five, like trauma and
indie movies and everything.
Full Moon Productions.
Yeah, yeah, Full Moon Productions and everything. Yeah, and we will be doing another list or whatever soon.
Hell yeah, can't wait for that. I mean,
but yeah, everybody, I guess that we'll go ahead and get started here. We'll go ahead and start with you, Robert. Go ahead and give us your first recommendation.
First recommendation would be The Shadow.
Oh, that's with Alec Baldwin?
Alec Baldwin.
Oh, hell no.
A Baldwin.
Baldwins. No. How can you bring the Baldwins back into this, Robert?
Alec Baldwin is the only one who does it now, right?
Pretty much. I mean, Daniel Baldwin is usually in a lot of, you know, like Christian movies. Yeah, I think one of his movies was God Club, which, oh my goodness, that movie is hilarious, to tell the truth.
John Carpenter's Vampires.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He was on that, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Now, Robert, why did you pick this movie for a recommendation?
Mostly, my whole list is like childhood movies growing up, you know?
Yeah, that's a good theme to have, more or less. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have a few from the 90s.
Mostly all of them.
Excellent, excellent. And what do you like about this movie?
I remember reading it from Blockbuster, and I don't know. I just recently it popped up on like Amazon Prime, and I just been watching it and recording it. And, you know, it just brings me back to like the old days of watching like Dick Tracy in like, you know, the old Mask movie, you know?
Yeah, it's very similar to Dick Tracy, actually. And it's funny that you bring up the Mask as well, you know, because can that be considered a superhero movie? I mean, it's at least a comic book movie.
Yeah, I remember watching the cartoons of the Mask, too.
Yeah, that came out after the movie, though.
Yeah, after the movies.
I mean, I remember the comic books that inspired the Mask. They were actually really, really insane and violent and brutal. Like, really fucked up shit. Almost kind of like the origins of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. But The Shadow, it originally started as I believe a radio show, right?
Yeah, and it was a comic too. I think the actual Shadow comic inspired the Batman writers too.
There's definitely a lot of parallels between The Shadow and Batman. Mm-hmm. Like The Shadow was very much a proto-Batman type character.
Exactly. I remember reading that, dude. like back in the day.
Yeah, the radio dramas, they came out in like the around the 20s, right?
Yeah.
20s, or like early 30s maybe?
Yeah, when all that stuff was just comics and then newspaper comics, you know? Mostly Batman was newspaper comics. And then everything was like action comics back then.
Yeah. And Batman was a Detective Comics, I believe.
Detective Comics.
DC. Yeah.
Exactly. Like Superman was action.
But in this movie, it's got that awesome 90s cheese to it that is always just pure like pleasure for me. You know, it's comfort food in a way. I mean, I think I even have a couple of movies on this list that come from the 90s that they really fit that bill for me. And I totally get why The Shadow would be one, because it's kind of an easy movie to just put on and watch on a lazy afternoon. I mean, maybe have a beer or two if it's like late afternoon. I mean, I really, really like movies like that. I think We Hate Movies calls them like, they have a category called hangover movies.
Hangover movies.
Yeah. You know, movies that you would put on, like, if you have a hangover and, you know, you're just trying to kind of, you know.
Kind of the same as the Dark Man trilogy, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Dark Man trilogy is great. I have that. And, man, Liam Neeson is wonderful there.
Mm.
It's kind of interesting that you bring up The Shadow. I mean, that's kind of a good companion piece to that movie and also to the first movie that I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. But, Robert, what else do you have to say about The Shadow?
Baldwin looks good in it, bro.
Baldwin. The Baldwins. Baldwins. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's Alec Baldwin, the yeah. Top primo Baldwin.
The top Hollywood actor Baldwin.
Yep, the all-time great Baldwin. But, you know, I mean, he did get out-acted in Team America World Police. I mean, let's face it, dude. he totally got out-acted by Homeboy.
Oh, I liked him in The Departed, right?
He was good in The Departed.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get into my first movie recommendation. And it's kind of funny that you picked a kind of, you know, proto-superhero movie from the 90s. My first movie is also kind of in that strain of superhero genre filmmaking.
Hell yeah.
And it stars Joan Severance. She plays a cop who becomes the superhero Black Scorpion. And this movie is just such great cheesy fun. I mean, if you just want a movie to just turn your fucking mind off and just enjoy a movie where there's literally like a mind control serum, like going through, like that's airborne. It's causing people to just randomly commit crime and everything. Like if you want to see Joan Severance in basically a dominatrix suit with a mask, just kicking the shit out of a couple of professional wrestlers, these women who are a tag team. And I mean, this is the movie for all of that. It has all of that and more, like cheesy special effects.
That dude from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, dude from Battlestar Galactica. And, you know, Joan Severance is also just amazing in this role. Like, she's so believable. Like,
gorgeous.
She's gorgeous, definitely. Gorgeous. But, I mean, the way that she portrays Black Scorpion, I mean, there's power behind it. In a way, you could kind of tell that she knows what kind of movie she's in.
A Black Scorpion movie.
A Black Scorpion movie, exactly. But yeah, Robert, what are your thoughts on Black Scorpion?
I remember seeing it for the first time with my cousin. I was like, what the hell am I watching here? And then I started getting into it. I mean, it's almost like Batman to, I mean, the Corvette that turns into the Batmobile, which is almost like the Knight Rider thing.
Yeah, it definitely has that kind of Knight Rider vibe to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts off as a red car, right?
Yeah, it's a red Corvette Stingray, man.
Like, and it's Garrett Morris's character. Yeah, yeah. By the way, Garrett Morris is in this movie, and he is also fucking awesome. He plays a car thief and fencer and whatnot, and he kind of becomes a de facto, like, Q-type character, you know, like from James Bond. You know, he makes all the gadgets and everything.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty much the one that soups up her car and even, I think, gives her some more weapons and everything.
Gives her juice, military-grade weapons.
Military-grade weapons, like, straight up. Like, and he's hilarious. I mean, you first encounter him in the police station that, I think the character's name is Darcy, Black Scorpion. like she encounters him there. She knows him well, obviously, and later on he just totally hooks her up. I mean, of course, she's threatening to, you know, expose his operation, but...
Makes the whole entire Batmobile.
What do you think about the effects on that car, Robert? Like, I mean, what do you think about the design of the actual Black Scorpion mobile?
Yeah. I can't get over the transformation. Still watching it, I think it's like a little bit corny.
Yeah, didn't they reuse that in the pilot episode of the television series?
Yeah, they did.
Oh my lord.
I swear, it looks like the new Knight Rider that came out in like 2010 or something. Like just the transformation on the Trans Am just looks like corny, dude. And like, I don't know, it only lasted one season too.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, and I think that DVDs of the actual series go for pretty expensive now, right? It's kind of pricey.
They can be, dude, because there's only like one season, you know? I do have a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, but I was happy to find this movie because I'm honestly just kind of a sucker for cheapo DVDs like this with...
Yeah,
with old school movies from like the 80s and 90s, you know, maybe like lower key movies.
Any day of the week, dude.
Yeah, this is very much an independent movie. Like, I mean, it almost has kind of a Roger Corman feel to it.
Need to see enough Roger Corman.
Death Race 2000?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. That's a Roger Corman movie.
The first.
Actually, so is Slumber Party Massacre.
Ooh.
That was produced by Roger Corman. So, yeah, you've seen some Roger Corman movies. Yeah, okay. The original Fast and the Furious. That's a Roger Corman film.
Oh, the black and white one. Okay.
Yeah, the original black and white movie from back in the day.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but what do you think about Black Scorpion as a character, both as a superhero and as the character Darcy the cop? Oh, yeah, I know the reason why you watched this movie.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, my Lord. God damn it, Robert.
What? No, I think she's gorgeous. She's got her own thing going.
Yeah, she does, and she has a valid reason for becoming Black Scorpion. It's pretty much like
because of her father.
It's because of her father. Her father was a cop who was kind of disgraced in a incident in a hospital.
So she's avenging him.
Yeah, she avenges him because he's killed by what was originally a very close family friend, the district attorney of the city that they're in. He just walks into a bar and just kills her father. Like, she's having a drink with him, just walks up with a .38 and just unloads on him.
Plugs him.
Yeah, plugs him right there. And he doesn't even remember why. He doesn't know why.
Just happens.
It just happens. And it turns out that the villain, what is the villain's name? Is it like the Breathtaker or something like that? Because, I mean, his whole shtick is something about, you know, making an airborne gas that when people breathe it in, they become like mind control puppets.
And like the second one, man. I've only seen the trailers of it, but it's expensive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's a second movie, right?
Yeah.
Does that have Joan Severance in it?
Yeah, I think she's in there too. And then, dude, there's like Jokers everywhere, you know?
Oh, Lord.
There's clowns all over the street, like it's Batman Returns or something.
Oh, no. I mean, so they're going to have the Psycho Circus or whatever
stuff like that, dude.
Oh, no. That does sound fucking amazing, though.
It's cool, though.
I mean, come on now. I mean, I already want to go ahead and drop however much money it's going for just to see that.
Just to see part two. I've never seen it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get our hands on it.
Oh, definitely. Like, without a doubt. But yeah, Black Scorpion is a fun movie, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that you should definitely seek out whenever you find it. I mean, you could probably find it for about $7 or $8 at your local DVD shop.
That's a good deal.
It's not a bad deal, no.
If you see it, grab it.
And Robert, what's your second movie recommendation?
My second movie recommendation would be Billy Zane's The Phantom.
Oh, The Phantom. It's funny, you're also bringing in another kind of comic book-based movie. Again.
Comic book-based. It was a television in the 1940s.
Oh, yeah.
It was black and white in the 40s, right?
Yeah, and I think there's been cartoon series based on The Phantom. And
Phantom toys everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, I remember some of the video games that came out.
Yeah.
Based on the Phantom. There was one on Super Nintendo that it was like the Phantom 2070 or something like that. It's a futuristic version of the Phantom.
Yeah, there's new Phantom stuff too.
Yeah. But Billy Zane's
version
of the Phantom, I mean, it's Billy Zane, so you know it's going to be an immaculate performance, one way or the other. I mean, he's pretty much the yin to Nicolas Cage's yang, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to over-the-top acting.
he's a good bad guy, dude.
He really is.
He plays a good bad guy.
Of course, he's no Gary Oldman. But
no.
No, but Billy Zane, he plays a good kind of swashbuckling, adventurous hero here. Like, yeah. In a way... The Phantom is kind of part superhero, part Indiana Jones, right?
Part myth.
Part myth? Legend. Yeah, yeah, that's right. There's a myth.
The ghost walks, dude.
Yeah, there's like a myth also around him. But he kind of has that, like, you know, adventurous playboy type of thing going as well, you know?
Grew up in the jungle like Tarzan.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana Jones, yeah. What are they looking for? The skulls of Taganda, dude.
Yeah, yeah. It's like these three skulls that when it comes together, it creates this destructive force.
Yes.
And who played the villain in that movie?
I forgot that guy, man. I've seen him in some other Tales from the Crypt episode. I swear to God.
I mean, there's a lot of actors from the 90s that were probably on fucking Tales from the Crypt episodes.
Yeah, no, they were.
Brad Pitt was on an episode.
He was.
For fuck's sake.
Tom Hanks was, too.
John Lithgow, Isabella Rossellini. But yeah, what do you like about this movie that made you want to recommend it?
Another childhood movie, and you know, mostly just the fight scenes, watching the movie. It was, you know, it's another blockbuster movie that I recommend, you know.
It's totally one of those rental movie night type of films.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Old timey 90s. Like, I can just go back.
Like, if you want to replicate it, you know, I mean, just like get some type of sour gummy candy, get some candy.
Yeah.
Get a pizza.
Yeah, I guess something good going on.
Get a pizza. Get the shit on VHS, and you've just got the 90s in a nutshell right there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But this is definitely one of those movies that, it fits that bill. I mean, I remember renting it a couple of times back in the day, and also seeing it on, I forget if it was Showtime or Cinemax that it came on.
Yeah, I saw it on TV all the time.
Yeah, yeah, it comes on TV. I think that we watched it recently on TNT, right?
Yeah.
But what do you think of the action scenes in this movie?
Oh, the fighting when he's whipping ass. I like the gun scenes with like the, what are they? Those are 1911s, dude, right?
Yeah.
Oh, those are sick. I like the ending where he's got like the three skulls and then he's like got the ring. And, you know, he's trying to destroy him. He just, like, sinks all the power into the three skulls with the one ring, dude.
Yeah, it pretty much just cancels them out.
Yeah, just destroys that whole dude. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that sounds good, and that definitely sounds like an excellent reason to watch this movie. It's
a good movie.
It's just fun. So far, we've given you some primo movies. My second movie is actually originally part of a trilogy. I think there's more after the third one, but you only need to worry about the trilogy. It's a martial arts movie, and it stars Jet Li, and I'm talking about Once Upon a Time in China. This is a period piece that deals with the Chinese slave trade from China to America. He's basically fighting against human traffickers in this movie, and the action scenes in here are just some of the best old school kung fu that you can find. And it's another movie that came out in the 90s. And even though it's a period piece, it has a lot of the more 90s centric martial arts that you see at that time. It has that Jackie Chan quality.
It looks like a 70s film, dude.
It does. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of wire fu in this one. And in the other two movies, there's a lot more of that, like the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon stuff.
Yeah.
But I really like the characters as well. Wong Fei-hung and also his female companion. They call her auntie for some reason. She's their aunt, but she's the same age. I don't know. And, I mean, this is pretty much Jet Li at his prime.
Jet Li.
I mean, I think he had yet to really start making inroads into American movies.
The Black Mask.
Yeah, Black Mask. That was like one of his first American breakthroughs, right?
It was all English dubbed over, right?
Yeah, it was. It was.
But yeah, when it got to America, everybody loved it, right?
Yeah, and he started to really explode over here. He was in some memorable movies.
Lethal Weapon 4.
Lethal Weapon 4. Oh, yeah.
More American, right? That was like 1997-ish.
Yeah. But, I mean, this movie is a great period piece as well. I mean, it takes place in the 19th century. You know, like China is trading with America and with Britain. And of course, you know, there's that still that slave trade going on. And so, I mean, if you want to get into the history of that, I recommend, you know, just going and looking it up, because we didn't do enough research for that shit.
Oh, you guys better look it up yourself.
Yeah. But yeah, check this movie out. I mean, especially if you like foreign films, if you like martial arts, if you like Jet Li, check it out. It's awesome.
If you like Rumble in the Bronx.
Oh, Rumble in the Bronx. Yeah, it has kind of a similar feel to Rumble in the Bronx, just kind of in a different time period. But Robert, what's your third recommendation?
Surf Ninjas.
That is just 90s.
90s.
As 90s can be.
90s, 90s.
I mean, you have...
We're talking Game Gear 90s.
I mean, who are the actors in this movie? It's...
I totally forgot. I mean, that one dude from, was it Ninja Turtles 2?
Yeah, he was from Ninja Turtles 2.
I forgot his name.
Yeah, I forgot his name as well. His name, Jesus dude. Christ.
I know the actor, though. Damn it.
Yeah, yeah. This is how little...
We didn't prep, really.
Yeah, yeah, how little prep we did for this.
It's okay, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're doing movie recommendations. It's just more for fun.
We know what we're talking about. I mean, you guys know what we're talking about, the actors. But anyway.
Yeah, but basically in that movie, the main characters are like long-lost princes of this one country that... Actually seems more like a South Asian country than Japanese.
Isn't Leslie Nielsen one of the bad guys in there, too?
He is. How the fuck did they make Leslie Nielsen a bad guy in this movie?
It's hilarious.
Yeah, and of course, you know how he did it, man. I mean, he played it straight, and it was fucking awesome.
He did it.
And the kid, he has a Game Gear that's able to predict the future, right?
That is so weird.
And it's just like he's seeing all this shit unfold on this little cheap-ass Game Gear screen.
This is actually happening, dude. Thinking like he's playing Judge Dredd or something.
I heard that nowadays you can actually get Game Gears modded to have better screens and everything.
Can you?
Yeah, and also better battery life and whatnot.
I got one that doesn't even turn on anymore.
I've got like two.
Yeah.
And I would like to actually get them refurbished. That would actually be pretty cool. I could totally start collecting Game Gear games.
Yeah. Man, I like playing that old stuff, like old Tetris, Sonic on a Game Gear.
Oh, yeah. Those are amazing. Those are totally amazing.
Judge Dredd. Even like original Paperboy. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, but back to Surf Ninjas. Yeah, it's a South Asian country, not necessarily a Japanese country. So I don't know why the fuck ninjas are involved here. Yeah. But it's also, like you said, it's a childhood movie, so I bet that this is another one of those real movie rental type movies. Because I could totally remember when we first saw this movie. I mean, I watched it on a little shitty CRT TV on VHS in my sister's room. We were hanging out in her room. And it's just so much fun. I mean, I think we watched it about 30 zillion times while we had it before we took it back to the rental shop and everything.
Yeah. Oh, they got Rob Schneider in there, too.
Oh, yeah, Rob Schneider. You know, 90s Rob Schneider.
90s.
Oh, Lord.
Before anybody knew who he was.
Yeah, before he went full-on crackpot anti-vaccine.
Before he became an animal.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I refuse to ever do that movie anytime, anywhere. I just refuse. After Master of Disguise, I mean...
Oh, man. Oh. I just watched some of Holman Watson... Oh, my God. I turned it off.
Oh, no.
And then I went and watched the reviews.
We almost did that movie.
Almost went to the movies.
We almost went and saw that just for the fucking podcast.
I think Ash was like, dude, people are walking out of Holmes and Watson right now. Like,
holy shit, dude.
Like, dude, they're walking out of the movies.
Oh, my God. Damn. And this movie didn't necessarily set the box office aflame, but, I mean, it's a memorable movie, at least. You know, kind of just like a little just chunk of 90s nostalgia. You know, like we said, you know, just turn your mind off, sit down, and just go back to a different time.
Yeah, exactly. Simpler times.
Now, unfortunately, my third movie is a little more serious. Yeah, it's directed by Michael Haneke. And it stars Isabelle Huppert. And it is The Piano Teacher. This is a movie that's kind of a character study of a woman who is just in a real shitty position in her life in spite of, you know, she's a piano teacher. She teaches at a prestigious Austrian music school. But
I've never seen it.
No, you've never seen it. But let me tell you, I'm going to try not to spoil too much. This woman has some kinks, needless to say, and the kinks that are kind of of the real pervy kind, not of necessarily the 50 Shades of Grey kind.
The pervy kind.
Yeah, I mean, like, voyeurism and stuff. And even, like, bloodletting. Yeah. But, yeah, she meets a student. She starts an affair with a student, and it does not end well. Let's just go ahead and leave it at that. It's a very well-structured movie. I mean, at the very end, I mean, it pretty much ends exactly as you would think it would. But, I mean, it still leaves enough questions where you're just like, huh, I mean, what about this or what about that? And I mean, Isabelle Huppert's performance, I mean, she puts on this very cold, icy demeanor, but she's also very vulnerable in moments. She's very into her kinks as a character.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it all kind of blows up in her face in the end, unfortunately, but I recommend this movie because, for one, it's on the Criterion Collection, so it's actually a little more widely available than it used to be. Every now and again, you can find the original DVD release, but it's usually like at least $15 to $20. But, I mean, this is a movie that's worth it to look at. It weaves together a really interesting narrative. It's shocking at times. I would say even disturbing. I mean, this is from the same guy that made Funny Games. So, I mean, make of that what you will. And, I mean, that's definitely a movie that I would recommend that, you know, just go in blind, don't spoil it, and just, you know, take in Isabelle Huppert's performance, because it's just really, really amazing. Now, Robert, what's your fourth movie?
Speaking of Rob Schneider, Deuce Bigelow, Mel Gigolo.
Oh, my goodness. At least you picked the somewhat good one.
The good one, right? I mean, yeah. Not the second one, right?
It's a movie that, to my memory, has probably not aged well.
I think the first one is funny, dude, because...
It's funny. I'm just saying that there's certain elements of it that it just wouldn't play well nowadays. There's a reason that the second movie flopped harder than the first one.
Yeah, the second one flopped. I think they thought they were making something with the second one.
Yeah, I think what it was is that they went a little... They dived a little too far into the deep end with the actual comedy that they established in the first movie.
The whole European... Yeah. Thing.
Just the whole raunchy kind of 90s-esque humor. I mean, in that movie, it's not done well, but it's not done in a bad way. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
It's just cheesy and funny, though.
Yeah. Now, what are your thoughts on the characters of this movie? I mean, there are a lot of really crazy characters, and that was pretty typical for movies of that time. Needless to say.
Like, early 2000s.
Late 90s, early 2000s, right? That's when this came out?
Yeah. Mostly Rob Schneider's character, Deuce.
Yeah.
He's a fish guy.
Yeah. He's an aquarium cleaner and a fish guy and everything.
Exactly.
And he busts this guy's aquarium, and he has to pay for it, right? That's the whole conceit there?
Exactly. He's watching his apartment.
And Eddie Griffin gets him into prostitution, and that goes exactly the way you think it would in the 90s.
Exactly.
On a movie starring fucking Rob Schneider.
Peer pressure.
Robert, why did you recommend this movie?
Man, I remember watching it a lot when it came out. Like in the sixth grade, I think I picked it up from Hollywood Video. I don't know. But, you know, when it came out, it's just something you watched over and over again. Kind of like the first scary movie, just to get those spoofs out of the way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to fucking sit here and say it's a great movie.
No.
Really?
It's just something funny just to throw on.
I mean, at best for me, it would be background noise, you know?
Yeah. It's just something to throw on because you haven't seen it in a while, I guess.
But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen this movie in a while or haven't seen it before, watch it, but coming from me, take it with a grain of salt. For Robert, it's just awesome.
It's the greatest masterpiece ever.
Oh my God. Yeah, true Kino. Her.
Don't take my word for it.
My fourth pick is by the great Lamberto Bava, son of Mario Bava. And it's in collaboration with Dario Argento, the great Italian master of horror. And it's Demons. Demons is a fun fucking movie, man. So much fun. And it's a great study of how audiences relate to the movies that they see and the relationship between director and audience, or artist and audience. because it starts off with all these people being pretty much cordially invited via like a gold ticket, literally, to go check out this underground horror movie that's airing at this local theater. This is like in Germany, I believe. And eventually one of these women who is a prostitute and is there with her pimp, who that character is fucking awesome. He's like just a badass throughout the entire movie, but she gets cut by a mask that she puts on and she turns into a demon. And these transformation scenes are fucking incredible. I mean, there's like gnarly teeth fucking growing out of their mouths and replacing their human teeth. Mm. There's like these nasty like boils just fucking like exploding with pus everywhere. Like they start like drooling blood and everything. And it's almost kind of Evil Dead-esque a little bit. Mm. It kind of has that quality.
Oh, first Evil Dead with the makeup in the beginning. Yeah. The transformation, which is...
Yeah, this kind of, it kind of has that quality to it just on a wider scale, because it eventually kind of turns into an apocalyptic situation near the end of the movie. And I'm not going to spoil the end of the movie. It's pretty fucking crazy, but I mean, it's a movie that has a lot of characters, because it starts off in a theater with all these people who were invited there to see this movie. And like there's a blind guy that's there with his wife who ends up making out with a complete stranger right next to him practically. And he doesn't fucking know it. Like, there's this girl and her friend who are the main protagonists. You know, they're pretty much just invited on the subway by a crazy dude in a mask. And, oh, man, I mean, the creature effects are so fucking incredible. I think I tried to show you and Frankie this movie once.
I think I've only seen nothing but trailers, dude. I really haven't seen the movie.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I am sure that I tried to show this to both of you. I'm sure of it. Like, just look at that iconic scene right there.
Holy shit. I've probably seen like, it once.
Just this scene right there on the cover. That's actually in the movie, and it is, like, pure iconic horror.
Dang.
Yeah, and it's a very Italian movie as well. So, yeah, that's my fourth movie recommendation, and we're going to go ahead and start winding down with our final recommendations. Robert, what's your last recommendation?
My last recommendation would have to be another childhood movie that I grew up with, right? RoboCop.
RoboCop. I have that on Criterion Collection right here. Yeah. And that actually has the original X-rated version, the uncut version. I mean, that was actually originally seen as a very hyper-violent movie. I mean, Peter Weller's, his fucking death scene is just, it's hard to watch, even today.
Will they piece him up and get him with the shotgun?
Yeah. What do you think about that scene, Robert?
Oh, man, that's pretty gory.
Yeah. The special effects in general are just kind of iconic. Like, of course, the actual RoboCop suit.
Yeah. The piecing together of the cyborg
suit. Yeah. I mean, originally, Peter Weller tried to put that shit on just without any type of training or anything. He couldn't even walk in it. They had to stop production so that he could work out a little bit and actually train to fucking walk in that suit. And, I mean, the special effects near the end, especially, you know, the really, really well-known one where that dude gets pummeled with toxic waste and he starts melting.
Like Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah. And then he's hit by a van and he just turns into just brown liquid. He just pops.
Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
Dude, that is a cool scene.
Yeah, it's very Toxic Avenger, actually. And, I mean, I have a lot of great memories watching this movie. I remember when I first saw the boardroom meeting scene with the Ed robot.
Yeah, and it just malfunctions, dude.
Malfunctions, and it just blasts that fucking executive out the window.
Yeah.
Like, in the version I have, there's a lot more that scene of his body just being torn to shreds. Like, his face gets obliterated. It's just fucking hardcore. And there's that scene where he comes up on those rapists when he has his first night out on the beat and he shoots that guy in the dick.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that video where somebody like edited a scene where this roving band of rapists with their dicks out just starts running at him and he just starts shooting them all in the dick?
No, I haven't seen that.
No, that is an actual thing. Ladies and gentlemen, go look that video up. It is classic YouTube, man. And it is, it's like, I remember watching that and thinking like, is this like a deleted scene? Did they go this far? I can see Paul Verhoeven going this far with it. Which, by the way, that's the same director that did Starship Troopers and Showgirls and...
Oh.
Yeah, he did Basic Instinct.
Yeah, nice, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, RoboCop is a great American story. It's very American.
The greatest American hero.
The greatest American hero. Yeah, he's pretty much an American Jesus, kind of. He's
cyborg.
He has a crucifixion scene, pretty much. He's resurrected.
Brought back to life. Alex Murphy.
Yeah, Alex Murphy. Why did you recommend this movie, Robert?
You know, just fun watching just something new, you know, for that time. I mean, I wasn't bored then, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's just something new, like cyborg, half man, you know, just cop.
Yeah.
And I don't know. A little bit different, right?
It totally was, man. And it's still a great movie to watch. But I'm going to go ahead and just kind of rush through my final pick because we're kind of going a little longer than we wanted to. Yeah. A little bit.
We're kind of trailing a little bit off.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend Harmony Korine's found footage movie, Trash Humpers. And this is just a movie where Korine, his wife at the time, and his friend of theirs, they just dressed up in these latex masks that look like elderly folk. And they just went out around like Nashville and then the general Nashville area. And they just caused fucking chaos. They humped trash, obviously. You know, they go into abandoned houses and they just smash shit. They're fucking with all of these crazy people, which if you've seen Gummo, you know how Harmony Korine likes to actually film, you know, people in their natural state. There's a lot of that in here. And in many ways, it kind of becomes like a found footage horror movie. Like near the end, they actually snatch a baby. It doesn't get crazy or anything like that, but... Yeah, there's lots of trash that's humped. I mean, Harmony Korine is just off the wall in this movie. And it's very unique. It's filmed in a VHS format. He actually wanted to put it on VHS tapes and thumb drives and like leave them on like playgrounds and everything so that people would find it. But luckily, he went ahead and released it, and it's a great movie. Like, I actually really, really like it. If you like Gummo, if you like kids... or Julian Donkey Boy, or anything that Korine has done, check this movie out. It's really, really fun. It's a funny experiment, and it can be a little disturbing, but, you know, honestly, I don't think it is. So,
is what it is.
Yep, it is what it is. But we're going to go ahead and wrap things up, ladies and gentlemen. Robert, do you have anything else to add?
Just check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Podbeam. Check us out.
Yeah. Also, check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Chill Lover Radio, and also find us on YouTube. And we do have a Patreon. Stop by and contribute to our $1 and $5 tiers. You can get access to full-length feature commentaries. And eventually, once we start having enough people, we'll start doing a shout-out, either the beginning or the end of the episode. We're going to start shouting out new patrons and everything. So check us out there, and also check out Killing Night.
Yep, our YouTube IGTV short, so check that out.
Yeah, check that out, and also give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser, and leave a comment for us. We want feedback, guys. Leave a review. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. I'm Bo Maddox.
I'm Robert Ortegon.
And this was Collateral Cinema Director's Cut. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Check out these movies.
Thank you.
You're a very, very sick man.
I saw it. There is absolutely no doubt.
Are you ready to accept my domination?
Collateral Cinema is an L Company production. All music and movie clips are owned by the respective creators and are used for educational purposes only. Please don't sue us. We're poor.